She's appointed 72 other disciples who are sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. Said to them, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals. Greet no one along the way. And whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you. For the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand for you. Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town. The Gospel of the Lord. I think you could probably do 4 hours of meditation on that first reading. What a rich reading, filled with so many lessons. So if you have some time today, maybe spend some more time going deeper into it. It's so rich from Nehemiah. Okay, the context, the Jews have been, they've been in exile, so they don't have a place to listen to the Word of God, so they set up kind of like what we had here in St. Peter Chanel about 20 years ago. We had to say the Mass outside in the open because we didn't have enough room for the people inside the old church. So we had two Masses at the same time at 10 o'clock. Maybe you remember. No? So it was kind of like saying a Mass in a stadium or an auditorium. So you've got Ezra, who's the chief priest, and Nehemiah, who is a good politician, good governor, that allowed the Jews to practice their faith. And they set up a makeshift platform, kind of like a little pulpit, so that when Ezra the scribe is going to read the scroll, that he's on a higher level like I am now. He's elevated. And who comes there? Men and women, and we're paying attention, children that could already understand. Okay? Nothing against crying babies, no, but children that could understand, men and women. Were you paying attention? Okay, so he opens up the scroll, which would be the Bible for the Jews. And he started to read. How long did he read? 6 hours. You think I preach long? Oh, man. Well, they didn't have watches the way you have, but from daybreak until midday, 6 o'clock to 12, is that 6 hours? Wow. Were they just sitting on a comfortable sofa or on water beds? No. They were standing the whole time. The men, the women, the teenagers, and okay, children that had arrived at the age of reason, I'd say about 7 or 8, what do you think? Children are able to understand when they're 7 or 8. I could, and I think you could too. So you got the little ones, you got the teenagers, you got the adults, you got the abuelitos, I mean, you got the whole people that are, it's 6 hours. Maybe one day I'm going to preach a 2-hour homily, okay? Say, you still got 4 hours to go, okay? And what does it say? They were listening attentively to every word that he said. Now, what's happening? Go back and read it. So he's reading it, then he's explaining it, what I'm doing now. He's reading it, stops, explains it. Reads it, stops, and explains it. And what was the specification? In such a way that everybody could understand. Hello? So the children could understand the way that guy was preaching, as well as the women, the men, everyone could understand. Pray for the grace that we're able to reach everyone. You too. You too. Sometimes when I'm with the catechists and the parents, I will teach them how to speak to children. Speak to children very clear, okay, using little stories. Amen? Okay, very clear, and use little stories in such a way that even children that are 5 or 6 years old can understand. The art of teaching is knowing how to tell stories. Who was the greatest storyteller in the world? His name was Jesus Christ. Did any of you go to Mass on Sunday? No? Did Jesus tell a story? It was a story of Lazarus and the rich man. Any English majors here? Okay, yes. That was called a literary contrast. Okay? If you know English well. It was called a literary contrast. Contrast, you got polar opposites. You got a rich man, you got a poor man. Okay? That's the way that we're made. We see opposites. Now, how do the people react when Ezra was reading and explaining? Were they looking at their watches? They didn't have watches. But they were not looking at their watches. Were they looking, the men looking at the women with an exotic hairdo? Okay? No. Were the men looking at the women with the funny hats on? No. Were the teenagers looking out for a good-looking girl? No. We do that, right? Yes, Father. What they were doing is they were riveted. There's a good word in English. They were riveted. They were riveted on one thing. One person. Ezra, who was reading the Word of God. They're riveted. For 6 hours. How about doing 6 holy hours today, huh? Hey, Eric, good idea? There's 6 hours. It doesn't say, but daybreak is 6 o'clock, more or less, right? Midday is 12, right? I'm not a math major, an engineer, but I know that's, you know, it's 6 hours, right? That's a long time for us. And they didn't pull out their phones to send text messages, did they, no? Okay, what was their reaction? Okay, maybe Ezra didn't pick up the Ignatian dynamic of what they were doing. Ezra, have mercy on me. But they were weeping. Can weeping be a sign of consolation? If I were Ezra, I would have let him weep. Ezra said, stop weeping. No, let him weep. Ezra, forgive me, but I have a different interpretation of Ignatian dynamic. No, they're weeping because they were so joyful. They hadn't heard the Word of God in a long time. And they've got this priest who reads well, he's a great preacher, and they're just, the faucets turn on and they're just pouring tears. Let him weep. He tells them a couple of them, don't weep. No, let him weep. Those are tears of great joy. 6 hours. Wow. Then what happens afterward? Were you paying attention to the very last 4 verses? He says, now go home. What? Go home, but just a piece of dry bread? No. Just eat the leftovers? Eat the soggy spinach? No. Eat the choicest foods. Okay? The choicest foods, the most sumptuous, exquisite foods. What? And drink warm lemonade? No. Warm lemonade? No. Sweet. Well, a good wine, no? Good Italian wine, huh? A good Italian wine. And then, there's another detail I like, because there's always the poor people. What's the other detail? There's the poor people, so you who are rich, there are a lot of people that are poor, they don't have food, so you cut out portions and give that to the poor people. That's important. But if you're just, remember the Lazarus and the rich man, right? He was eating like Thanksgiving every day. And that poor Lazarus was outside the gate. He wouldn't lift up a finger to give him a crumb. He ends up in hell. So you've got a lot. Don't keep it yourself. Give. Mother Teresa says, give until it hurts. Amen? There's more joy in giving than receiving. And then there's another verse that I've always liked. He says this, what is our strength? Is our strength money and power, prestige, a new car, fame? What is our strength? May the joy of the Lord be our strength. Amen, huh? I love that. Even though we don't have anything on a material basis, may the joy of the Lord, l'allegria del Signore, okay? May the joy of the Lord be our strength. So it's a beautiful reading. I remember about 30 years ago when I arrived in Cordoba, Argentina, we went out to one of our little chapels, and I was just concelebrating the Mass, and who was preaching in the Mass was Father Dave Keeter. Do you know who he is? And I remember, this is about 30 years ago, I have a pretty good memory, no? I remember he was going through this in great detail, and his point was, look at how much reverence the people of God had for the Word of God. How much reverence they had by setting up the pulpit and reading and listening and weeping with joy. So let's pray that we will love the Word of God, and may the joy of the Lord be our strength. Amen.